Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's time for episode 39. Episode 39 of Stands and Fits. We're approaching our midlife crisis.
Yeah, we are.
I don't know what we're going to do. We need to just do something ridiculous on the 45th episode.
Wait. Why 45?
I don't know. What's the average age?
Well, I think usually...
Average lifespan of an American.
Usually isn't it 80 years, so you just cut that in half and go 40. So technically the next episode would be that. But I don't think we'll be able to do that, honestly.
We should come in and we just bring our wildest takes.
Yeah. Just go off the deep end.
Exactly.
Anything psychotic we've thought about for the past year or so, bring it with you.
No, I don't think we want to go. I don't think we want to go there. On today's episode, we will talk about Iowa State's first win of the season over the Akron Zips. Look ahead to the game against TCU. Answer some mailbag questions. Hot and not. Underrated underdogs. Some people suggested some would you rather questions. I think they were actually for your mailbag, but we're going to rock with them here on the podcast. And then we are going to drink some beer.
So we have we touched on every feature for the Stands and Fits podcast in this podcast.
Yeah, we went in deep.
We did.
Went in deep today on Stands and Fits, but we're going to lead it off here talking about a little bit of football. Like I mentioned, Iowa State with the win over Akron on Saturday. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the game?
Unexciting overall. If you were kind of going into that game thinking Iowa State was going to blow them out, obviously that didn't happen. I wasn't really necessarily confident they'd blow them out, even though I picked them to. I guess I was still shocked that the game was as close as it was heading into the fourth.
I honestly don't think that they tried to blow them out.
They just tried to get by and go with the win.
Yeah. I think that's kind of.
It sounded like Campbell's plan was to just prevent Akron from, you know, getting the big play.
Well, I think they were content with going out there, getting a lead, and then they were going to play a bunch of different guys. That's what they did. Mm. Got some true freshmen in the game.
That's right.
Got Brock Purdy in the game.
Yep.
Specifically, Will McDonald played a little bit. Got Orion Vance a handful of series at the Mike linebacker spot. So I think Jeff told me conservatively they played 55 guys.
That's a ton.
Yeah, and that's a lot of dudes to play.
Yeah.
And to still win by double digits, you got to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, looking at it that way, it's nice that you can be able to put in some of those guys and still feel like you're comfortably winning the game, mm-hmm. even if it was closer than people thought.
And I think it's a game that's kind of hard to analyze, too, for those reasons. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that I don't think that they really were throwing everything that they've got at the wall.
Yeah.
And they, like I said, I think they were content. We're going to get the lead. We're going to hold the lead, and then we're going to get a lot of people on the football field.
And I still wonder if they're holding back a decent chunk of the playbook for when they hit the meat of the Big 12 schedule.
My only thing, and I think this is kind of what Jay Jordan's gripe was with the way they played on Saturday. I'm not sure that they're good enough yet to hold a ton back.
Yeah.
And then be like, okay, now we're going to unleash it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to just see them go out and do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's just my personal opinion.
That's true.
It is what it is.
And I hope that if they do it soon. And if they don't, then that'll be a little bit disappointing in my opinion, just because I feel like...
Well, I'd say if you're going to do it, then this week's game, next week's game are two situations
important.
Yeah, are two situations in which you're going to really want to do that.
Like the next 2 weeks are going to be the difference between a 5 or 6 win season or a 7 and 8 win season, probably.
Yeah. And we were talking about this today up in Ames. I was talking to some other media guys. I wouldn't be surprised, especially if Iowa State won on Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised to see them get the 6-day window for that West Virginia game. Mm. Just because I think that if they win that one and then you go into that Oklahoma State game coming off a big win over TCU, if you go and beat Oklahoma State, then all of a sudden you're coming off 2 wins over solid teams. Iowa State's probably receiving votes in the polls again.
Yep.
And West Virginia's going to be a top 10 team. Yep. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that be one of the marquee Big 12 games of the day.
So you think that could be a Fox late kick or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what network it would be on. Even if it was the 2:30 game on ABC, kind of like what I guess Oklahoma was on. Was it 11? But whether it would be 2:30 or 8 or in the evening, I think they'll lean towards one of those rather than it being an 11 o'clock kick.
Definitely. But have to get through TCU and Oklahoma State first.
Yeah, have to get through TCU. Let's talk about this game against the Horned Frogs. Do you have anything else to say about the Zips?
Not particularly, no.
Yeah, that was just a boring game. Not much to talk about. This game against TCU, I think, is going to be really exciting. I think it can be a fun one. I think it will be a pretty defensive battle. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite to the level of last year. 14-7.
Yeah.
But I still think that it'll be a back and forth game where, it's relatively low scoring.
I was surprised to see TCU opened as a 12.5 point favorite or whatever it was, something along those lines.
I think it's down to 10 or
which
10
makes
and
sense
now.
Because Iowa State, again, they haven't lost by more than 10 points in a couple of years now.
Yeah.
So to expect them to get beat pretty handily, even though they haven't looked great to open the year, it's still a little bit unexpected.
Yeah, I don't see them getting blown out by two scores or anything like that.
No.
I think it'll be a fun game.
Especially with the questions that TCU has on offense. Like, they haven't looked that cohesive yet.
Well, that quarterback, I don't trust him against Iowa State's defense. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's pretty mistake prone. And obviously, the last two teams he's played, he's thrown two picks against in the last two games, or four picks in the last two games. Mm-hmm. Two against Ohio State and two against Texas. Those are two pretty good defenses. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that Iowa State's going to try and put him into similar situations. And as long as they're able to bottle up his ability to run, I feel pretty confident about what they're going to be able to do against him.
Agreed. I think, the key to this game will be, can the defense prevent the big play?
Yeah.
I think.
Can the defense prevent the big play, and can the offense generate some sort of big play?
Because the more the defense is on the field and the more plays that they make TCU run, the more chances there are going to be for turnovers too.
Exactly. And that's what Jeff was talking about yesterday, that, we saw that last year where they basically put Kenny Hill into situations where it's like, all right, Kenny, can you run 14 plays in a row and not mess up? Mm-hmm. And he couldn't do it.
Yep.
And I said this on the podcast, he got all the way to play 14, theoretically, whatever that, I don't know what actual number that those plays were, but where you get all the way down inside the five and then he finally makes his mistake.
Yeah.
And they're just not a team that we've consistently seen be someone who can do that, that can go and have a 14 play drive and do everything right for 14 plays and then without making a disastrous mistake. And that's what I think Iowa State's going to need to do.
So in a way, basically, you kind of hope that Iowa State turns it into a version of last year's game.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, those are probably, as much as we would like to see the offense play at a higher rate and score more points, more often than not against these upper level teams, those are probably the games that Iowa State's going to win,
Yeah.
Or at least those are going to be the games where they have the best chance to win, the highest probability of winning the game.
Yep. So knowing that Brock Purdy got in the last game, we still haven't seen Real Mitchell yet, but do you think that either of those two guys get like actual reps against TCU?
No, unless you're using Real in some sort of
like situational package.
Yeah, situational package. I would be surprised to see Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Well, I think we'll see him again at some point because, honestly, and Matt Campbell said this today, he's one snap away from being on the field.
Yeah.
One Zeb injury away from being on the field, which tells you exactly where their depth chart is, regardless of what it says on the actual 2D.
Yeah, unfortunately for Devon Moore, right, correct?
Devon Moore.
Yeah, it looks like he's not anywhere near touching the reps at QB.
And that doesn't really surprise me, honestly. I mean, I think Devon is a talented guy, and I think he does some things pretty well, but I don't know that his future playing the quarterback position probably isn't at Iowa State, realistically.
And I think coming out of high school, I think you could say that Purdy definitely had a higher pedigree than Moore did.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. And Devon was not overly highly recruited.
Yeah.
I think it's clear to see that that in those three guys, there has one guy has emerged as the top of that group.
And I don't know exactly what either of those guys were facing in high school, but I would guess that Brock Purdy, what he was going up against in Arizona, was probably better defense-wise than what Moore was facing in Iowa.
Yeah, realistically,
so probably. So the jump from high school to college might be a little bit easier for him, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. And Devon played at the 4A level. It's not like he was playing Class A or anything
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
But no, I think that Devon was a kid that it was important for them to get him at the time, but at the end of the day, I'm not sure that he's going to play a ton of quarterback at Iowa State if he really ever does play quarterback at Iowa State.
It'll be interesting to see because, I mean, he, by all accounts, he looks like a pretty athletic kid. Do you think he could eventually like go to a wide receiver or something like that?
No, I think he's probably too big to be a receiver.
Okay.
He, I mean, maybe he could be like a tight end or an H-back or something, but I don't know. Hmm. Yeah.
That would be, he'd have to put on some weight then.
I would say it's probably more realistic that he would like transfer to Northern Iowa and play quarterback. I don't want to speculate about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's just, if he wants to play quarterback, that seems like what would be the best case scenario to me. That's not my thing, like to say that kind of stuff.
You're not predicting that. You're just,
no, I'm not predicting
that. It's a hypothetical.
Hypothetically, if based on the projection of what Iowa State's quarterback room is going to look like in the next couple of years, and to be, I mean, I'll be completely honest, I haven't seen Devin Moore throw the football that much. I mean, the guy is coming off of an ACL injury and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't see it in the cards for him at this point.
Yep.
We've talked about Devin Moore considerably more than I anticipated on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's go to our questions.
Okay. So a few. We got four today, I believe. From SciFanatic13, say a team is punting. The punt is down at the 1 yard line. However, player on the punting team was called for a 5 yard penalty, then gets called for a 15 yard unsportsmanlike. They have to punt again, and this time the punt goes into the end zone. How many yards did the player who got the penalties cost them?
Oh my God, I didn't know we had to go.
So I think this originates from...
Wouldn't it just be 19 yards?
Well, there's your answer.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that's my answer too.
Yeah.
But it originated...
Are they trying to like get us all twisted here, and it's really just a pretty simple answer?
I think there was a debate raging on this, and your answer was kind of wanted as well as mine.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, it's 19 yards.
Yeah, because, I mean, the penalties don't really matter at the end of the day if the punt just goes out of the end zone.
Exactly. It's different if there's, like, two plays.
Yeah.
As opposed to one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's our answer.
Okay, I didn't know if there were... Yeah. I thought that they were maybe trying to be tricky or something like
that. No.
I think they are trying to be tricky, but it's just, yeah. It's just 19 yards. Yeah.
Okay, next one. Cyclones500 asks, non-ISU question. Which is truly a more shocking upset? Appalachian State over Michigan in 2007 or Old Dominion over Virginia Tech last weekend?
Appalachian State, without a doubt.
I think so, too.
Appalachian State was coming off like back-to-back national championships, I think, at the time. Or they just won one and were about to win another one. I don't remember exactly what it was. But I don't think that at that time there had been very many situations when an FCS team was beating a Power 5 team.
That was one of like the first distinct upsets in college football that I have really in my memory.
Yeah. And that was also supposed to be a super good Michigan team. I want to say they were in the top 5 going into the season.
Yeah, that was when Michigan was perennially a college football like powerhouse.
They had like, that was like when they had Chad Henne and Mike Hart.
Yeah.
Maybe even Braylon Edwards, Mario Manningham, like a bunch of really good guys on one team.
Yeah.
And Appalachian State beating them in that game in the Big House was considerably different than Virginia Tech, who was a top 15 team.
Mm.
I know Old Dominion is a relatively new program to the FBS level, but they are still at the FBS level. And it was at Old Dominion. So it's not like it was...
Agreed. Going into the Big House winning as big of an underdog as they were is super impressive.
Yeah. So I would definitely say 2007.
Agree with you there. All right. Next question. My phone just turned off, so that's great. SciFan 1998 asks, what is your favorite restaurant in Ames?
Okay, well, I'm going to assume that it has to be a Ames-specific restaurant.
Yeah, you can't really go with the chain.
No. Pizza Pit would probably be up there for me.
Okay. It's a good one.
Hickory Park obviously has to be in consideration.
Yeah, and again, people always... The debate on Hickory Park is whether they actually have good barbecue or not, in which case the answer is no, their barbecue is not great, but you get so much food for great quality there. So that's just like...
Is the food top-notch? Maybe not, but do I ever leave Hickory Park unsatisfied? Very rarely.
That's a very good way of putting it, I agree. My favorite restaurant, it's kind of a weird one, but Brick City Grill. We used to go to... there are unlimited wings on Wednesday nights. It's a great deal. You get unlimited fries and unlimited wings, and it's just super good.
I tried Wingstop for the first time last week.
I saw that.
Yeah, it was very good.
I've eaten there one time as well. I went to try it. It was pretty good. Go Seneca Wallace, I guess.
Go, man. Seneca Wallace. Yeah. Lots of Seneca Wallace stuff in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool to go there and just see all the stuff he's put up, you know,
right,
from his time at Iowa State.
Exactly.
Okay. Last question for this opening segment. Lincoln Way 187 asks, how would you improve Campus Town?
I don't know. What do you think? I want to hear your answer first.
I was hoping to hear your answer first.
No, it's all good. I'm going to listen to you first.
How would I improve Campus Town? Somehow I'll put more parking in.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably... That's
a really
also
lame...
Also a little dangerous, but...
A little dangerous and really lame as compared to like what someone's idea might be. But yeah, it's like it's always weird to park in there, I think.
I don't know. I guess I wish it was a little less dirty sometimes.
Mm. So like you'd clean up the streets?
Not necessarily the streets. Maybe if your feet didn't stick to every
floor
and all the bars and stuff,
yeah,
that would be one thing.
So you just give all the buildings a nice little scrub down.
Yeah. Honestly, in some of those buildings, I don't think at this point you could do anything about it.
They're irredeemable.
Yeah. You're in too deep with the alcohol on the floors to really rescue them too much at this point.
That's kind of an interesting thought. Like over the years, how many like drinks have been spilled on those floors?
I mean, I've probably spilled at least 10 in the last 5 years. So
if you factor in like 10 per...
Or not 5 years, 3 years.
Like 10 spilled drinks per, like, I don't know, college student who goes there regularly over the years, that's so many.
That's, yeah. I mean, I would guess that it's somewhere in the thousands or millions of spilled drinks and alcohol all over the floors and sweat.
So there you go.
Just other nasty stuff on the floors.
So, yeah, get more parking.
We love you, Campus Town. You have great character, but...
That's true.
But I don't like my feet to stick to the floor all the time.
Yeah.
See, I don't know how old Lincoln Way 187 is. Their answer is probably... I mean, honestly, to me, like, when I was in college, I was perfectly content with everything on campus in Campus Town.
And I think,
I didn't have any complaints.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when you're a college student, your standards are pretty low.
Yeah.
I think comparably when you're a quote-unquote professional.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, someone that's older, if they went to Campus Town, I'm sure they could think of a lot of things that they would like for...
Yeah.
To be different. But you have to think about what the targeted demographic is.
And especially when you're older and you haven't been to Campus Town in a long time.
Right. That's probably what my thing is. It's just like, I don't have that big a problem with it because it hasn't been that long since I was there and I was having a good time.
Exactly. Bonus question, also from Lincoln Way. What is the best candy? This is the last one, the real last one.
Sour Patch Kids for me. I'm a big sour candy guy.
I like Sour Patch Kids. Have you ever had the Sour Patch Kids watermelons?
Yeah.
Those are delicious.
Yeah, those are great.
I like those better than the regular Sour Patch person.
Well, that's a... It's a terrible take, but I'll,
no.
I'll allow it.
It's true. I will get some backing from this from people. I guarantee it. But my favorite candy would probably have to be, it's a candy bar. And I know lots of people don't really like candy bars, but I like Reese's Fast Break.
Okay. I've never had one, but I like Reese's Cups. I just had one for dinner.
If you like Reese's Cups, you should try Fast Break sometime.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Everybody's going to hear that I had one for dinner and be like, what?
Yeah, you did.
As
I was walking in today, Jared downed a mini Reese's.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, this is my dinner.
I was only partially kidding. all right. What else would you even consider?
For favorite candies,
I would throw sweet tarts in the consideration. I like sweet tarts.
I do not like sweet
tarts. You don't like sweet tarts?
No,
oh
I
my
don't.
Gosh.
Mike and Ike's for me. I don't know if you like them.
You like Mike and Ike's?
I like Mike and Ike's way better than I like sweet tarts. Another one, this is kind of a niche one, Swedish Fish.
Okay.
I really like Swedish Fish. I don't know why.
I don't think that Swedish Fish really tastes like anything.
They're actually like, I would even describe them as rubbery.
Yeah.
And they don't have much taste, but it's
like if you took all of the good things out of Sour Patch Kids and just and put them in a bag.
I won't disagree with you, but
and made them look like fish instead of kids.
The nice thing about Swedish Fish is since they're not that sugary, you can eat a lot of them and not feel completely terrible about yourself.
I don't know. I think I could eat a lot of Sour Patch Kids and I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Well, that's good for you. I know a lot of people would get rotten gut after they eat that many Sour Patch Kids.
That's fair. That's fair enough. Okay. all right. Is that it?
I think so.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on Stands and Fits on the Cycling Fanatic Podcast Network after this break.
Hey, guys. It's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now. And I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago. And I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location is, they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seeing or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache. And I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day. And man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com. or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic. Hey guys, it's Williams here. On the podcast, on our radio shows, we talk a lot about point spreads, you know, all that stuff. To be honest, I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really just fascinated by that industry. And I want to recommend a service to you guys today if you're interested in that sort of thing. MyBookie.ag is the website. If you join right now, and if you give them our promo code, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. This is a really good deal. Our promo code is 2427. Again, that promo code is 2427. They have live in-game, live betting. They're in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-under on fantasy points for players. There's all sorts of really cool things. MyBookie.ag. Again, that promo code is 2427. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag.
All right, time for hot and not. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Kicking off hot and not with a very hot. Wendy's Twitter. Yeah. So I'm sure you saw this. During the Nebraska game, where they were getting absolutely destroyed by Michigan, Wendy's tweeted out, "Might need a Scott Frosty to ice down the beating Nebraska is taking."
Yeah, that's savage.
That is savage.
Wendy's has never held back on Twitter, but that was just...
like, in the hierarchy of, like, corporate Twitter, Wendy's has to be at or near the top.
Oh, I think they are at the top.
Like, it's them and, like, I would even say... They're not exactly the same, but the Portland Trailblazers are also a really good Twitter follow, just like random, mm-hmm. like being funny. But yeah, Wendy's Twitter is insanely savage.
Yeah. I feel bad. I saw somebody tweet that there's like 14 Wendy's franchises in the state of Nebraska.
Oh, really?
And I feel bad for everyone that runs those 14 Wendy's.
That seems like so few. Like, I know that Nebraska is basically like Omaha, Lincoln, and then lots of nothing. But still.
Yeah, just smaller towns.
Yeah, smaller towns. But I would feel like there would be more Wendy's than that, just 14.
I just don't think that it's very prevalent there. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, they've got some, like, they have Runza. And
yeah, I was going to say.
They have other places. There's a lot more Arby's there than I think there are in Iowa. Hmm. I mean, I don't have the statistics to back this up. But, yeah, Wendy's just is not overly prevalent in the state of Nebraska.
It's interesting. I wonder
there
why.
There is one, actually, like, half a mile from the stadium, though, so I really feel bad for that person.
Yeah, I wonder if that manager got a lot of complaints, like just randomly. Yeah, I saw what your Twitter account tweeted, and even though they have nothing to do with it, yeah, they got bad feedback.
I can imagine that there was a lot of people replying to that tweet saying stuff like, "I'm never going back to back to Wendy's," and all kinds of stuff like that.
And it would be interesting to see, like, when their like monthly financial statement comes out, like,
did they lose money?
Did they lose a lot of money comparably? Yeah, that'd be funny to look into.
Yeah, it would. My hot this week is Tua. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, I still don't know.
Everybody knows who it is if you watch college football. The starting quarterback at Alabama. First, he has solidified himself as the front runner for the Heisman. Clearly, is the starting quarterback for Alabama after what was, you know, whatever they want to call that. I don't think it really was as much of a quarterback controversy as what it was made out to be. And then secondly, on Monday, he threw his support behind the return of NCAA football. And if Tua can't get NCAA football back, who can?
No one.
No one. No one can, I don't think. I am fully behind Tua for Heisman now, only because he said that we need to bring back NCAA football.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to get him to get even more college athletes on board too. Just gonna be kind of thing where like they all universally agree that, hey, it's for the best. Who cares if they're making money? Kind of. I mean, people care, of course, but still, it's like, bring back college football games because those are the best, man.
Yeah, we need NCAA football back. I know that.
Yeah. Dude, and by the way, like, while we're talking about Tua, how insane is it that Alabama football, like, now has an awesome QB on top of...
And has an offense.
Yeah. On top of being Alabama.
I mean, that's the reason that they're, like, minus 200 to win the national championship right now.
Yeah. Like, it would be a
They're
shock.
At, like, Golden State Warriors level favorites to win the national championship.
Exactly. Like... Honestly, Tua, like, emerging as this amazing quarterback was a lot like the Warriors adding Kevin Durant, pretty much. Like, it takes a good team
kind of,
to insanely good.
Right. Yeah, I don't have anything else to add to that. So, I mean, they're going to win the national championship.
So, hopefully that influence brings back NCAA football video games eventually.
All right, what's your not?
Of course, I have to go with the Vikings. I know, I feel like a lot of times we use the Vikings for hot not, but, like, this week especially, they deserve to be not. Because how can you lose like that to the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
It was so bad. Like, and they were down by 20 points within, the first quarter?
Yeah, I think it was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Which is unthinkable.
Or 20-0, something like that.
Because they were favored by 16.5 points against the Bills. And then they end up losing... Like, the Bills covered their opposite spread. That's how bad it was.
And things have not gone very well for the Vikings in the days since that.
No. I haven't followed the Everson Griffin news.
I was going to say, with the Everson Griffin situation, which is a whole other deal. I'm not that closely kept up on. Obviously, it's sad because I think that he's going through some really serious stuff.
Yeah.
And you hope that he'll... get some help and be okay. And so, at this point, football doesn't really matter. But, not good.
Some of my friends were wondering if it might be like early onset CTE. Even.
Yeah, I think that's kind of becoming the prevailing thought right now.
Which is really scary because he's an awesome player.
Like, yeah, he's not very old either.
No, I want to say he's like, mid to late 20s?
Yeah, probably.
So,
which is scary. That's a bad deal.
Yeah.
I do think there were some things that were misreported based on what I was reading, that some of the stuff might not have been quite as intense as what it was made out to be, but there was a lot of stuff that I think was pretty intense.
Yep. And now after,
And now to make it all better, they get to go play
on Thursday
on Thursday night
against the Rams.
Against the Los Angeles Rams.
Which is one of the hottest teams in the National Football League right now.
The only thing that I think would be worse is if they had to go play the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And have the Chiefs put up a solid 50 on them or something.
The only redeeming thing about that would be that the Chiefs defense isn't near as good as the Rams defense, I think. But at the same time, Patrick Mahomes is insanely good.
Patrick Mahomes has been stupid, dude. It's crazy.
Like, the comparisons have been like he's a combination of Aaron Rodgers and like Brett Favre. Like a combination of the two best quarterbacks or two of the best quarterbacks that the league's ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might just be the best quarterback in the history of the universe based on everything I've seen from him so far.
If he keeps this up, then he is.
I mean, he's on pace for he's thrown 13 touchdowns and zero interceptions through three games.
Yeah. He's on pace to beat Peyton Manning's record for most touchdown passes in a year.
Yeah, he's on pace for 70 touchdowns right now.
Yeah.
Which would very solidly break. I think actually Tom Brady has that record now.
Does he? I thought it was Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I remember him breaking it, but I thought that Tom Brady broke it when Randy Moss was there.
See, I think Peyton rebroke it when he was with Denver, though.
Okay.
But anyway, the thing about Mahomes is, I think with how bad the Chiefs defense is, teams will keep scoring against them, even though they'll score a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
So that will allow Mahomes to keep throwing even when they put up a lot of points.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I didn't do my not this week. My not is Jimmy Butler and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, looks like Jimmy Butler actually isn't going to come play in Hilton Coliseum like what we thought before.
I have not. Last I heard is that Jimmy Butler did not want to be traded, but then the Cavaliers were inquiring, and that's all.
No, he very much does want to be traded and is refusing to report to training camp and is saying he will not play for the Timberwolves.
So he's pulling Le'Veon Bell of sorts.
Which in turn turned into Andrew Wiggins posting on his Instagram story how Jimmy Butler's an old bum ass that isn't that good anyway. And then Steven Jackson, former NBA player Steven Jackson, took to Instagram to bash on Andrew Wiggins while he appeared to be smoking a blunt in his basement.
I did not see
which was hilarious. And then that turned into Steven Jackson and Andrew Wiggins' brother beefing on Instagram, and Steven Jackson calling him a bum ass who's never played the game before and he only follows on his bum ass brother's coattails.
So this is just the NBA soap opera.
Yeah.
Waging on.
Yeah. And Jimmy Butler is saying that he only wants to go to like three teams and
just so he can get a max contract, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which I would say that he is not deserving of.
And then the Timberwolves signed Karl Anthony Towns to a supermax, and now
good for them.
Right. I think Tibbs is saying he's not going to trade Jimmy Butler, but I think it sounds like the owners want to trade Jimmy Butler. And I think the way that this is going to end is that they're going to trade Jimmy Butler, and then they're probably going to fire Tibbs, and it won't really matter anyway. And they'll kind of just be back at square one from where they were before Tibbs even showed up there.
What a mess, dude. Like, cause what was it, 2 years ago that Jimmy Butler went to the Timberwolves and gave the Bills or the Bulls.
That was last year.
Was it last year?
Wasn't that? I think that was his first year with them. Yeah.
Like everyone was like mocking the Bulls for how stupid they were.
Yeah.
And now it looks like the Bulls were like by far like the benefactor of that entire thing.
Yeah. They were. I mean, Markkanen's good. I don't think LaVine's really even played that much, but.
No. But still, like getting rid of Jimmy Butler and only to have the Timberwolves.
Did you see the clips of Kawhi yesterday?
The laughing. Good grief.
Dude, if that guy. I swear, if nobody could be convinced that that man might be a robot before yesterday, if you watch that footage of him at Media Day, I think you would be convinced.
Yeah, it looked like when he, right before he started laughing, it was like processing, laugh.
Yeah, exactly. He just looked like he's not even actually a real human being.
Yeah, he kind of stares blankly into the distance a lot.
Yeah, and just the way he talks too. Talk about having zero charisma whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, I understand that he's a really good basketball player, but this is why he's not like a well marketed athlete. Really. Yeah.
And obviously, because he expressed his feelings that he didn't really want to be in Toronto at one point, correct? Or am I misremembering that?
No, I mean, I don't think that he's ever really said he wants to be there, but I think it's been reported that he doesn't want to be there. Mm. And nothing that he said yesterday really helps any of that. And now it came out that after they traded DeMar DeRozan, now Kyle Lowry won't talk to Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball ops, and Nick Nurse. Mm. Shout out to Carol Iowa's own Nick Nurse. He won't like reply to any of their text messages or answer their phone calls or anything.
Yeah.
So not only does the guy who's one of the best players in the NBA not want to be there, now it sounds like Kyle Lowry, who's another one of the best players in the NBA, has been in Toronto for quite a while, also doesn't want to be there. And yeah, luckily, at least Kyle Lowry's locked in for two more years. Kawhi will probably leave next year.
You can probably count on your hand like the number of NBA teams that don't have any kind of drama, like player drama going on.
Oh, there's no NBA team that doesn't have any player drama going on. If the only teams that don't have player drama going on are either A, so good that they don't need to have any drama, i.e. the Warriors.
Yeah.
Or they are so bad that they don't need to have any player drama, i.e. the Atlanta Hawks or the Brooklyn Nets or someone like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where...
So it's kind of the maybe in the playoffs, maybe not in the playoffs. Those teams are just under all this pressure.
Yeah. Or they've got a star player who doesn't really want to be there. It's things like that.
So if you were the Timberwolves, or if you were a team that wanted Jimmy Butler, what would you do?
I mean, if you're the Timberwolves, you probably got to trade him because you want to get something for him.
Yeah.
Or else he'll just leave, and then that would be worse.
So what team do you think would be a good fit for Jimmy Butler?
I mean, honestly, I think you said the Knicks, the Nets, and the Clippers.
Mm. Do the Clippers still have DeAndre Jordan, or is he in Dallas now?
He's in Dallas now.
That's right.
Blake's in Detroit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, they're not going to be very good.
None of those teams.
They'll
are,
be okay.
Really. I mean, he could go to the Knicks and have Porzingis.
Yeah,
right?
He'd have Porzingis, and then they would. potentially have the opportunity to get Kyrie next year, I think, which, you know, who knows?
Kyrie says he wants to see 11 hanging in the rafters in Boston, I'm pretty sure, right? Which could be just Kyrie talking out his butt.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people say that he wants to go to the Knicks. I don't know, man. Some of those guys, I'm just convinced at this point that no matter where they go, they're probably not going to be that happy. And Jimmy's like working his way into that sort of situation. Mm. He seemed so happy to be back with Tibbs and like loved that he was in Minnesota and all this kind of stuff. Mm. And it took less than a year for him to be like, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
So
at this point, he just wants the money.
Right. Until he gets somewhere and I can actually see that he's pleased with the fact that he's there, I'm probably not going to believe that he really wants to be there.
Yeah. But I mean, again, I don't think he's really deserving of a max contract. Considering he's the basically
dude is a defensive specialist. He is one of the 15 best players in the league. Like the Timberwolves were considerably better because they had him on their team.
But he's
and I think they'll be considerably worse without him.
Isn't he on the wrong side of 30 now, or am I thinking wrong?
I mean, I don't know. No, I don't think so. He's not that old.
I thought he was getting up there. I think he came out of college pretty old. I thought
Jimmy Butler is 29.
Okay,
so
almost there.
Getting close, but on.
I mean, that's still
so then fine. That really probably is.
So he's probably got.
It puts him in a position where if he's going to get a max contract, this is probably his last opportunity to do so.
So he's probably got, you know, 3 or 4 years of prime Jimmy Butler left, which is fair. I was wrong. So.
But yeah, I don't know. I would anticipate that he'll be traded in the next couple of weeks. Probably not to one of the teams that he wanted to be traded to. Which will be kind of funny. And it'll just be whoever can give them the best possible package.
Fair enough.
It'll probably be like the Miami Heat. That's the one that I've seen most recently.
That'd actually be a pretty decent spot for him. Obviously, he's not going to get the money he wants, but...
No, he'd have to leave to get the money that he wanted to.
Yeah.
All right. Underrated underdogs. I lost last week. I shouldn't have.
Oregon looking real nice.
Oregon had the game. What was their ESPN's win percentage? Like 99%?
Yeah.
And somehow they came back to lose to... Or they fell back to lose to Stanford in overtime.
There was one point where both Oregon and Iowa were winning, and I was like, man, both of our underdogs are looking good. I should tweet at Jared. And then, no, neither of them won.
I'm just going to say that Iowa game had me real upset.
Did your friend bet on it?
Yeah. My friend got his ass handed to him on Saturday.
Oh, man, that's too bad.
Through a combination of games. And anybody who's ever met a bettor, a lot of times if you have a bad daytime with college football, all of a sudden your mindset flips. All right, well, boom, I'm getting it back tonight.
Yeah.
Big games tonight. It's time to make some plays. I'm going to get it all back.
Yeah.
I was like 3 minutes away. I mean, my friend was like 3 minutes away from getting it all back.
Yeah.
If you're going to make bets, by the way, mybookie.ag. That's the spot. Cyclone Fanatic sponsor, mybookie.ag.
Nice.
I think our promo code is 2427. Yeah. My friend had Iowa on the line, Iowa on the money line, and the under.
Ouch.
And that under.
What was the over under?
I believe it was 43.5. It was 22 seconds away from hitting, and then Wisconsin got like a 30-yard run from the fullback on an end around and ran in for a touchdown. My friend was upset.
So that was
a bad beat. That was the definition of bad beat.
You tweeted about that, right? Like you hate Iowa even more.
Yeah,
now.
And then some Iowa fans were real upset with me.
Shocker.
I know. Yeah. I that's what I said. I was like, it appears as though I've upset some Iowa fans. In other words, just another, I was rooting for them to win. That's what made me, that was why I was like, why are all these people mad at me? I was rooting for you to win.
Yeah, exactly. Like technically you were doing the same thing that they were doing at that point in time.
Really? It just reminded my friend that no matter what, life is too short to bet the under. Always bet the over. My friend will never touch another under ever again. Ever.
I will bet that you're wrong.
You're probably correct. All right. My underrated underdog for this week. I've learned my lesson. Twice this year already, I have picked against the Stanford Cardinal, once against USC, once against Oregon. I'm not doing it again. Stanford going on the road this week to South Bend, Indiana to take on Notre Dame. They are a 5.5-point underdog. I'm taking the Cardinal, coming out with a win. There you go. There it is.
Nice.
Boom.
I don't have a whole
lot. Lock it up, as Chris Williams would say.
You're that confident, huh?
Yeah.
So is your friend betting on this, or is this just your...
My friend hasn't decided yet. He hasn't looked at... He's locked into several wagers. That is not one of the ones as of now.
Okay. Maybe a late bet if a few things go wrong.
Mybookie.ag if you're trying to make wagers on our underrated underdog picks this week.
All right. So, yeah, again, my wink-wink from last week lost Iowa. But this week, going with...
Is this another wink-wink, or is this a...
This is a real pick.
Okay.
But it could be a wink-wink, too, I guess.
Is now your goal just to go 0-12?
I haven't even told you my pick yet. I know you see it, but yeah. Still. Kansas State, +8.5 at home against Texas. Yes, Texas looks like they're back. Yes, Kansas State looks like they're the opposite of back. But that's when you least expect them to strike, because that's when Bill Snyder raises Kansas State from the dead and they do the unthinkable.
I think the Wizards' magic is gone. The vampire magic is gone.
You're totally wrong, because his comments about...
West Virginia drove a stake right through the heart of Manhattan, Kansas.
No, that's what you think every year when Kansas State goes down like that. Then Bill Snyder says something, then his team rallies.
Bill Snyder has never gone into a press conference and said that he can't coach a team that can't get 6 inches.
He's pulling out
he's turned against his own assistants.
No. This is like he's reaching deep into his vampire wizard magic like capacity and bringing it out, and he's going to upset Texas at home. And I might add that Texas has not historically done well at Manhattan the last few years. So I'm just saying, this is ripe for a K-State win.
I think that you're 100% wrong on this.
You'll see, man. You'll see.
I can't tell if you're trying to do another reverse jinx or not.
Guess we'll have to wait and see.
I think you're probably going to spin it either way now. If they come out and lose, you're going to be like, well, that's exactly what I wanted to happen.
I will go on record and say I am 100% serious.
Okay.
I am not going for the reverse jinx. I think this is going to be a weird game, and I think K-State wins.
Okay, man.
All right.
I can't rock with you on this one.
That's fine.
I mean, a lot of times you can convince me this
friend,
is not one of them.
Your friend does not have to join me in my thinking. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that my friend's not touching that one. I can promise you that. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll do some Would You Rather when we come back on Stands and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
All right, time for Would You Rather. All these Would You Rathers were... submitted on the forums.
So the first two were provided by SRJ Clone, and the last one was provided by G Highland 7.
Okay.
First, would you rather? Would you rather be alone for the rest of your life or always be surrounded by annoying people?
Alone.
Agreed.
I'd be perfectly fine with it. It's whatever.
Yeah, because solitude is important to me. And even if I wouldn't like be around people, I would just, my peace of mind would be much better alone.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to handle being around annoying people the rest of my life.
No. And
I just talk to myself. That's fine. I'll create alter egos inside my own mind.
Yeah. And the range of annoying there are different kinds of annoying people, and all of them are bad.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So that one's pretty easy. Next one. Would you rather have everything you eat be too salty or not salty enough no matter how much salt you add?
Probably too salty. Okay. What do you think?
I waver on this one because I love salt. Like I add salt to everything, but I think obviously having too much salt is in the long run unhealthy.
Yeah.
So I think I would have to force myself to live without it, just because I think like you can eat lots of things that aren't meant to have salt anyway, like fruits and veggies and stuff like that, and be just fine. So maybe it would just promote eating healthy anyway.
Sounds awful. I'll just eat all my salt.
If you're going strictly pleasure over lifestyle, then yeah, go salt for sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. You're a simple man.
Exactly.
Simple thinking. Okay. Last, would you rather. Would you rather live without elbows or without knees? So basically, would you rather...
So if I'm going to sit, it's got to be like...
It's got to be straight-legged.
This?
Or the question... Okay, so...
Or it's got to be like... everything I do.
See, typing would be...
No, how could you ever drink anything? You got to have a straw for everything. The longest straws ever.
Or you... Well, you'd have to set it on the table and then... Yeah, you're right. Because you wouldn't be able to... Like, you have to go like this. Like put it above your head and stuff.
The microphone. I'm gonna test this.
Yeah. So you have to like, it had to be small cups that you can like pick up. Yeah. You're actually drinking. Wow. That's kind of impressive. So he just picked up a glass without.
I never want to do that ever again.
Without his hands. And
that was an awful idea. I shouldn't have proved to myself that I was capable of that.
But obviously it would suck to not be able to run and like play sports using your legs.
But if you ran, think about running and you have to keep your arms
You could be a champion like power walker though. You could still be like you could.
I'm just thinking about what you would look like trying to sprint like, with your arms straight like this.
That would be awkward still. Yeah, you're right. But I think like in the general scheme of things, it's much better to have functioning arms than it is to have functioning legs.
I'm just testing this out. I'm just trying to get a good idea of the ramifications of this decision.
But you'd get used to it after a while.
Yeah. I just feel like I'm like penguin shuffling.
Yeah. But you get where you need to go. And as long as you like account for time to get there, then.
I do think that it would be more of an annoyance to not have.
Like think about like.
Elbows. Like, yeah. To only like, do this.
In general, like grabbing things and like typing. You have to type with your arms extended the entire time.
Or what if your bones just grew in like this? So then you're just constantly like this.
See, that's what I was wondering. Like, even if you don't have elbows or knees, like they're slightly bent still.
Yeah. Always at like a...
But does that technically qualify as elbows and knees?
Always in an obtuse angle.
Or yeah. So like you're even though you don't have an elbow per se, like your bone from you're just, your shoulder...
You have one arm bone that
it's one
just
arm bone.
Curved in
it's
the middle.
It's just bent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I think we might have really talked ourselves through this one.
Yeah. So if you could do the bent arm thing, then I would sign up for that.
Yeah. I think I can handle that.
But if your arms had to be straight, then I would sign up to have no knees.
I still don't know if you can drink like that, though.
Probably not.
Or eat. Like,
it'd be difficult.
You have to have really long forks.
Yeah.
Or you just eat like a dog.
See, I mean, there's a lot of things you could adapt to, but it would all be weird.
Yeah. All of them would have to be, would just be very socially unacceptable, probably.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, like, it would be one thing if you were the only one who had to live like that, but if, like, everyone
was like that?
Everyone was born like that, and that was a normal human thing, then it would be fine.
What if your parents had to choose for you? If every person who's born, they say, you either can have, your kid can either have no elbows or no knees.
I would pick.
Which one do you pick?
Nah, you have to give them arms.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no knees. I still think no knees.
I think, yeah, I agree.
I mean, because if you think about it, it's basically like being in a wheelchair at that point. Like, it would be different. Because
so then are your legs?
Your legs would still be extended. Like, if you were in a wheelchair with no knees, like, your legs would be out still. But everything else is basically the same. Like, people get around and do that just fine.
Yeah.
That's my thinking.
Okay. Yeah. I all right. Yeah.
Like,
I think you're probably right.
Were you leaning having legs?
I can't decide.
It's a tough one.
I can't decide.
That's a good would you rather.
I can see the pros and cons, but well, okay. I can't really see many pros, but I can see the
arguments.
Yeah. The arguments for both sides. I'm going to go with no elbows though. As long as my arms can be slightly bent.
Okay.
I feel like I can adapt to that more easily than I could like the legs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still going with no knees.
Fair enough.
I'm
just going to say that I think that you're making the wrong choice, but that's fine.
Just like the K-State thing, but you're wrong.
You're really wrong about that one. This one, you're only a little bit wrong.
Okay. So we do have a beer today, as is what we were trying to do before the season. We got a beer from the state in which Iowa State is playing their opponent. So TCU is from Texas.
Really explained that well.
I did. Thank you. My mumble mouth. So we have Shiner Bock, which is brewed in Shiner, Texas. And there's a little story on the back of the bottle here. Small town, small brewery. Every drop of Shiner beer is brewed right here in Shiner, Texas. Population 2069. Nice. By a handful of local craftsmen who take pride in our little brewery and our classic Shiner Bock. First brewed in 1913, this lightly hopped American-style Bock has a clean flavor and a slightly sweet finish. We hope you enjoy drinking it as much as we enjoyed making it.
I want to know if every employee at Shiner really enjoys the process of this as much as what they make it out to be. Pour me up, bartender.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You have your own little thing here.
I will bend my arms to drink this.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah.
Okay. Actual cheers. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Cheers. That's not good. I don't like that, but that's not because it's bad beer. I just don't like it.
I actually really like that.
Do you?
You just don't like that style?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the taste of that.
They were right. It does finish sweet, and I like that, actually.
I don't like it in the bad beer sense. It's just that I don't think I would drink that.
So it's not, yeah, like you said, it's not a bad beer, but it's just not your style.
Exactly.
Fair enough. But probably, that might be, I guess, Pseudo Sue is probably better than that. But that's obviously, again, probably the second place beer in terms of quality that we've ever had on this podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to hope that the TCU Horned Frogs are worse than that.
Agreed.
All right, we good?
I think so.
All right, we'll talk to you guys again next week on another edition of Stands and Fits, episode number 40. Thanks for listening on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Beat the Horned Frogs. This has been a real struggle of a sign-off. Peace.